This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we commit this service to you. We thank you for your presence here. What an awesome privilege. What an incredible experience just being with you together, Lord, in your presence, God. And we commit our time to you. Ask, Lord, that your name be glorified. Trust that each of us here will leave differently, transformed to be more like Christ, for the glory of your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks so much for that. Yeah, we've had a number of things happening. Just a reminder, before I forget, that there's no evening service. I believe that if you are here this morning, you are aware of that. As it's the university holidays now, we won't be having evening services for the next week or weeks. So just keep an eye on that. The schools had their big celebration 90-year thing happening last week, so that's why we had different decor last week. It was very interesting. And this year, we're just kind of getting out of that. The hall was in a complete state. Friday when I got here, it looks already a bit better. But we've also had the prayer night going on. Because of the concert, we didn't have Bible school last week, but we had a practical. So a bunch of us went out and did a practical, which was for practical evangelism. And it was really a blessing. Who was there? Who enjoyed it? It was really amazing. And it just amazes me how when we step out, we trust God and we ask, He's always faithful to connect us with people that really need Him. Whether we have done it before or not, some of us there were a bit fearful, some were a bit anxious, some had never done anything like that, but each one could testify afterwards that God had done amazing things. I mean, we saw at least one person committing their life to Christ. We saw at least two people. One that was on the team, and one that wasn't, but two people got healed, and so many more were prayed for and ministered to. And thanks so much to everybody that came. And if we have something like this again, I'll remember to announce it in church as well. Everybody can join. It's such a blessing. But that doesn't mean you can't do it on your own, right? If you just, it doesn't have to be a formal one, all right? Anyway, that was a blessing. We had the prayer night, which was. Sounds like it is amazing. I'm so sad that I missed out on that. We were preparing for our parenting course that was happening. That was in itself a great blessing. We had mostly couples that weren't in church, that aren't in church. So that's amazing. And I was just reminded of something somebody said recently. He said, you know, if you think about parenting, you say you are preparing the people of tomorrow. Right, the children are the people of tomorrow. And this person said, no, it's not really true because they're already people today. Isn't that true? You know, they already, we're talking about this, I'm preparing my children for their calling one day, but they're walking in their calling right now. Isn't that true? They are legitimate people today. And there's no junior Holy Spirit, all right? There's no lesser version of the Holy Spirit that the children receive. So, just as much as you and I are walking as children of God in our purpose, the children are doing that as well. So maybe just a word for a parent out there or a prospective parent. They're already walking in it. That was for free. It's not part of the sermon. Abigail lost another tooth yesterday, so big excitement in the house. She managed to get it out herself. I don't know how. Then there was all speculation about this whole thing of, obviously in Afrikaans, it's not the tooth fairy, it's the tooth mouse, right? So there was a speculation about this. Is it real? Can it be? You know, is there factual evidence? David was asking me about how does it work? You know, how does the mouse know? All this stuff. He's always thinking about the details, you know. So he was asking me all these difficult questions. And in any case, he was watching the Jets. Have you noticed there's a big issue going on? So he was watching the Jets We ended up having to build a jet at home, right? In Lego. Emily is just singing all day. She's just loving it. She's a little sunshine child, so singing and coming up with new songs and different songs and singing the songs that the other two sing, but then using her own words, which is really interesting. But it's a joy to have kids, and it's a joy to be humbled as God works through them in our lives. Amen. A couple of weeks ago, we chatted a little bit about going through trials and through difficult seasons. And we spoke about pruning and that kind of thing, and the seasons of pruning. And I don't want to continue with that, but there's one or two thoughts from that I thought I needed to just work through a little bit. And it was on my heart, and I was kind of wrestling through this. And then a word came from one of the intercessors, which really kind of latched onto, which really connected with what I had on my heart. So that was really encouraging. Okay, but before we read, there's one other thing that I want to mention. There's a prayer, big prayer day coming up. You might have heard of it. It's Time prayer event. And we were the pastor's fraternal last week, and the guys are trusting God to go really big, bigger than last time. So it's really amazing what God is doing. The Lord has provided a venue, which is towards the east of Pretoria, and they got favor with some of the main taxi owners in Gauteng, so they had a meeting with them last week. Apparently, the guy says they're going to this massive house in this golf estate with all these Ferraris and sports cars, and then all these very smart guys suited and tied, and they're all there. They're the main mana in the taxi industry. And apparently, between the people there, they own 250,000 taxis. Yep. And they move a lot of people every day. And they were there, and they prayed together, and they were ministering to them as well, and they were asking for their cooperation on the day. And it's just amazing how God is turning hearts and ministering to people, even in the preparation for what's going to come. So I want to really encourage you to make a plan. It's close to where I grew up. So yeah, if you need a place to stay, my mom's guest house is there. Let me know. In any case. But yeah, the 27th, it's going to be awesome, 27th of October, so keep an eye on that. Let's read from 1 Peter, chapter 5. I'm going to read quite a bit here, just for us to get a bit of context. Focus on the second part. All right, so I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. It's talking about sufferings and glory. Okay, that's good news. The order there is important, though. In any case, it says there, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So there's an interesting bit here in terms of the elders and the shepherds and the overseers, however you want to say it. And it talks about the unfading crown of glory. It talks of the reward that awaits as we faithfully serve those that God entrusts to us. And then he speaks about the younger, he says, be subject to the elders. In another translation, there says, humble yourselves towards one another. It says here, clothe yourselves with all of you with humility toward one another. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then the next few verses, there's an incredible progression that happens. And I want us to walk a little bit through that progression this morning. Okay. It's not too small. So you can read with me. So it says the humble. It says humble. Be humble. You know, humble yourselves and submit to one another, basically. And then in verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore. Whenever you read therefore, it's good to read what goes before the therefore. That's why I read the first bit as well. Okay, so if you're reading a scripture and you're starting with therefore, and you're in the middle of a thought, you're in the middle of something, so go back and read the wherefore that comes before the therefore, that you understand what's after the therefore that has to happen before the therefore. Does it make sense? Okay, so humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. So in humbling ourselves under each other and under our leaders, and submitting to one another, we are also humbling ourselves under the hand of God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you. Isn't that encouraging? You know, there's a something all around us in the society that says you need to make yourself count. You need to step on everybody else to get to the top. You need to do what you need to do to get in front, to climb the ladder, to achieve what you know, a success. You need to blow your own trumpet. You need to get out there, fight your battles, do your thing, right? But God says, if you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, at the proper time, He will exalt you. He will lift you up. He will bring, another part says, He's the one that brings promotion at the right time. Now, the challenge here, I think, which we are often faced with, is He says here, at the proper time. So there's a humbling of ourselves, yes, that's in itself difficult. And then it says, at the proper time, God will exalt you. He will lift you up. The problem that we have is that space between the humbling and the proper time. Yeah? Because we don't know what that, there's like an open-ended, there's no, humble yourself so that in 2 weeks' time, that would be nice, yeah? if you could have just given us a bit of a heads up, yeah, make 2 weeks or 2 months. It doesn't. It just says, at the proper time. And often with God, and often with us wrestling with God's timing, this is the challenge. Is that we hear what God is saying, hopefully, and then we see that there's an unknown in terms of the length of the season. So this is a challenge for us. So He says, at the proper time, God will exalt. But what do we do in that space? What do we do in the meantime, before the proper time? Sometimes this is in the form of a season of waiting. It can be a season of enduring. It could be a time of challenge or trial. It could be different kinds of seasons. But what is the important thing that has to happen in the proper time, before the proper time comes? And I just felt that I just needed, God wanted to share me a few things, lay on my heart a few things around this, because there's always a danger here that if we miss what has to happen in between, we're going to miss the proper time as well. So let's go on. It's actually amazing how He kind of puts it out there. He says that at the proper time He may exalt you, and He says this is part of what you must do in the meantime, casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. Because isn't that what happens when we don't know how long this is going to last? This humbling myself and a little bit of challenges, we start getting weighed down. But let me just read a few verses on, then we'll go back and work through them. Casting all your anxieties on Him, because He cares for you. And then He says the next thing, be sober-minded. Be watchful in this meantime. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. So that's another danger of that in-between time. We'll look at it in a moment. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So in this meantime, it seems like there is a possibility of suffering. Okay, stand firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by my brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, again, he doesn't give us the time frames of a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. He himself will do this. After the little bit of suffering for a while. Now the problem with this, when the Bible says a little while, is, you know, there's so many scriptures that talks about Jesus is coming soon. You know, there's in a little while, and that's already 2,000 years ago. All right, so that's the problem with some of these time scriptures. You know, we don't know, with God being outside of time and us being inside of it, it's challenging. But I want to look a little bit through this progression, see how Peter puts this together. Okay, so there's a humbling of ourselves. We've looked at that. It comes off the back of God saying he resists the proud. God resists, he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Okay. We've spoken about that. So that's the first key. If you and I want to be exalted at the proper time, if we and I want to stay in step with God's purpose and his plan, we need to be not opposed by God. I think that's a non-starter. That's like when you start the race and you're running in the wrong direction, okay? So that's the first key. Don't put yourself in a position where God opposing you, okay? In other words, as we humble ourselves, he's the one who gives grace. He gives us grace to endure. At the parenting course yesterday, we were chatting about the different temperaments, and we were talking about strong-willed children. There are out there. I don't have any of those, but a little bit. Half strong-willed, half rustig. Anyway, so we get really strong-willed children. People call them different names and have different terms for it. But one of the things that is recommended is that a child like that needs to acknowledge when they have made a mistake. They have to say it. They have to say what they did wrong. And a part of that reason is we are helping them to come to a place they can humble themselves. Isn't that amazing? We can all learn from that. Amen? So that's such a key, because once the child has humbled themselves, they can receive grace. It's the same for us. If we humble ourselves, we can receive God's grace. His provision for every moment. His provision, his abundance for every challenge. Okay, that's part of that grace. Then he says, okay, what is happening in the meantime, in between? There's always a danger there. The enemy, in that time in between, he tries to, I mean, his plan is, as John 10 says, he comes to kill and steal and to destroy. That's his plan. The other day, I can't remember the context now, but I was ministering to somebody again, and I just again had this vivid picture that God, that we cannot underestimate the enemy's desire to kill and steal and destroy. We cannot underestimate, we cannot play with him. Like you won't play with an adult lion in the Kruger Park. You're not going to go and play with that thing. Okay? In the same way, it's as if there's a deception often that comes in where we think, okay, I can play with this sin. I can just dabble a little bit. It's not so dangerous. It's not so bad. You know, just a little bit. But in the same way that you're not going to go play a little bit with the lion. Are you getting me? He wants to kill and steal and destroy. There's no other plan. There's no little bit of killing and stealing and destroying. He wants to go all the way. So he's prowling around. He wants to devour. He's wanting to kill and steal and destroy. How does he do this, right? So he tries to hijack the purpose of the season of in-between or derail. He tries to put his own stamp on that in-between season. And he does that by trying to confuse us or bring deception in. He tries to bring discouragement and fear. He tries to, he tries to get us to focus on ourselves. Have you noticed that? When things are going a little bit tough, things are uncomfortable, we tend to become very inward focused. And I know it's a natural thing, and I know it's a human condition, but that's a part of his plan, is to hijack our focus to be on ourselves. And once we go into that slippery slope of self-pity, and I'm in this challenging time, what's going on, and we take our eyes off what God wants to do, there's a danger of us, being derailed off the purposes of God for that season. Do not miss the purpose of that season, that in-between season. So he says, first, cast your cares upon Christ, because he cares for you. Make sure that you unburden yourself. Make sure that you walk in thanksgiving. Make sure that you and I walk in praise and thanksgiving. That's such a powerful way of unburdening, right? And I have to do this often. I just say it as well. I say, okay, Lord, these cares, and it's good to name them. Just say, you can have this one as well. Here you go. cast our cares upon him, because he cares for us. Make sure that you're wearing the garment of praise. Make sure that you are walking in thanksgiving. How we watch that, how it says there, it talks about being sober-minded and watchful because of that, of the adversary devil prowling around. So a big part of that being watchful is watching and being aware of what's going on in my thoughts and what's going on in my heart. Am I wrestling with heavy thoughts, dark, depressive thoughts? Am I kind of continually meditating on negative stuff? Or am I really, is there thanksgiving in my heart? Am I seeing the goodness of God? Am I being thankful? Am I testifying like I used to? Does that make sense? So watch what's coming out of your mouth. Watch what's happening in your thoughts and in your heart. That's one of the ways we need to be watchful and vigilant. I'm just going to quickly read James 4 as well. James 4 verse 7. Also speaking about resisting the enemy. So it says there, but he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud again. Opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And then he gives us a quick breakdown. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Okay, we've spoken about the humbling. Submitting yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. So when you're in that in-between stage, and the enemy is trying to throw discouragement and fear and all that other stuff at you, when he's trying to derail or hijack God's plan for that in-between season, be watchful, vigilant. What's going on in your thoughts? What's going on in our heart? Submit those things before God. And once you and I are submitted to God, when we resist the enemy, he will flee from us. Amen? We're able to resist him boldly, fearlessly, and he will flee from us. Amen. Okay, let's continue. Okay, so there's those things to watch out for, the deception that comes in, discouragement, self-focus. Now, that deception and often stuff like offenses that want to come in, I'm not going to go into depth into that now. We've spoken about that before. But the enemy, the scripture speaks of us being taken captive to do the enemy's will when we take up offense. When we fall for that bait, we get caught in that trap, and we get hijacked to a point where we don't realize it, but we are no longer traveling in the direction we're thinking we're traveling. And what we end up, if we don't focus, end up down the line, we're at a different destination. That's what happens when you get hijacked, right? Especially a plane. So watch out for that derailing. Watch out for that
enemy trying to hijack that season, hijacking what God is trying, what God is doing in your life. Okay. So we resist him. Verse 9 says, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by our brotherhood throughout the world. And then he says, after you have suffered a little while, we see the promise again. So there's a couple of times where he mentions this promise. He says, heard of the crown of unfading glory. He mentioned that in the proper time he will exalt us. And then he speaks here of the eternal glory in Christ. And he will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish. That is the heart of God for you and for me. Amen. To restore, bring restoration, to confirm, to strengthen, to establish. So if you're in that in-between stage, whatever it may mean for you, if you're in that time where there's challenges and struggles, don't miss that part, that this is the destination. Well, this is the part, this is what God is wanting to establish. He wants, this is his heart for you. Amen. Okay, I want us to, we have to close. All right. 1 Corinthians 10, from 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted or tested, some translations say, beyond what you are able. Beyond what you are able. But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. And again, that's the heart of God. Even in the difficult time, even under temptation, even when there is temptation to be fearful or anxious or discouraged or deceived, or to in temptation to take up offense, he will make a way of escape. He's already prepared a way. Amen? And if we are vigilant and watchful, amen, you see that way of escape. Amen. We can recognize his provision. We can recognize that grace when it comes. Amen. We may be able to bear it. I want to close with 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. Then he speaks of the reward again. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. My translation says beating the air. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. I want to end with this because it again speaks of the eternal prize, the eternal goal, the crown of unfading glory, the exalting that will happen in due time. But it also mentions here the part of what has to happen there, the discipline. Because guys, that in-between stage can be really challenging. And I found in that in-between stage, cruising and just going with the flow is not going to work. You and I need to decide. We need to be disciplined. We need to be watchful so that we can receive grace, so that we can train our body what it should do, train it, you know, point ourselves in the right direction and not miss the purpose that God has for that in-between stage. Amen? Are you with me? And, you know, so that's the key of what I felt this morning is that God is, working with so many of us through different seasons. Do not miss the purpose for that season. And do not miss the purpose for that in-between. Whether that's a waiting season for you, whether it's an enduring one, whether it's a whatever shape that takes in your life right now. Be vigilant, be watchful. Receive his grace for every moment. Amen. Cast your cares. Let's look at the progression again. Firstly, we humble ourselves.
we cast our cares upon Him because He cares for us. And in the back of your mind, keep the heart that you know, my shepherd is a good shepherd. He's the one that's going to establish. He's the one that's going to strengthen. He's the one that's going to raise me up. He's the one that's going to restore. I need to keep my eyes on Him. Okay. Keep resisting the enemy. Keep standing against him. From a place of submission to God, from a place of humility, when we resist him, he will flee. Guys, he doesn't have an option. There's no option not to flee. Right? Because when you and I are in divine order, when you and I are submitted to Christ, and when we speak out of authority, and we speak in the name of Jesus, there's not an option not to flee. So there might be some questions around what does it all submission, submitting to God entail, and that's a good question. It entails making sure that the enemy doesn't have a foothold in your life. In other words, there's no legal reason and right for him to have an influence in your life. In other words, some of our actions and some of our stuff that we do in our sin has gives the enemy a legal, spiritually legal right to have an influence in our lives. So we need to be vigilant and watchful about those things. And once we close those doors, once we deal with those things, we submit to Christ. When we resist him, there's no other option. He has to flee. Amen. And then he's the one that restores. He's the one that confirms. He's the one that strengthens us. He's the one that encourages us to run for the prize, to be disciplined. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Father, that we look to you, Lord. We look at Scripture, we look at our own lives, we look at people's stories, we look at our own story, and Lord, we can testify that you are good. You are good, Lord. Even this morning, even here, right now, even right now in your presence, we know you are good, Lord. That is who you are. You are love. That's your nature. That's who you are, Lord. And that's why we can come with boldness and humility this morning. We humble ourselves before you, Lord, knowing that we were not rejected, knowing that through the cross of Christ, you have already accepted us, Lord. Thank you that we can run to you without fear, Lord, because of the way that you've made through your Son, Jesus. And every heart this morning, thank you that you love each one. Thank you that you know each one. Thank you that you have a desire to be intimately connected with each single soul in this place. Each person listening, each person out there, thank you, Lord, that you have a desire to be close to each one. And you extend that invitation to every single one to come close, to draw near. Thank you that you have made a way for us to be able to draw near, Lord. Thank you that you have given your Son as a sacrifice to die on a cross in our place, Lord, to take our sin upon himself. Thank you that he took our shame and our guilt, he took our sin, he took our pain, our suffering upon himself, so that each single one of us, Lord, listening to this now, in our day, Lord, thank each one can have eternal life and have a relationship with you. Father, I thank you right now that you are drawing hearts closer to yourself. As every eye is closed now, if you know right now that you are not in that place of peace with God, you are not in a place of
relationship with Him. Maybe you've known about Him. Maybe you've been around church. Maybe you've never been around church. But right now, you know you are not right with God. I believe He's extending an invitation to you right now. My son, my daughter, come to me. And if it's your desire this morning to accept that invitation, if it's your desire this morning to acknowledge that yes, that we are sinners, that you are a sinner, and that you want to turn away from that life of sin, and you want to choose today to follow Christ as your King and Lord, then here's an opportunity for you to do that right now. It'll mean that you need to lay down your life. It'll mean that you are no longer in charge of your life. It'll mean that He will be the King and Lord of your life. And if it's your desire to choose that this morning, as every eye is closed, won't you raise your hand for a moment? If you want to choose this morning to follow Jesus, if you want to choose to humble yourself, to receive His grace, I'd love to pray with you. Is there anybody like that this morning? Thank you so much. Thank you. That's very bold. Is there anybody else? I mean, if I want us to just make a bold statement this morning, and it's every person that has raised their hand, and even if you knew you would have liked to raise your hand, I want you to do something really bold and make a step of declaration and step out from where you are and join me in the front here. It's going to take a bold step, but if you can just step out from where you are and join me in the front, I'm just going to be praying for you guys. And just trusting God to complete that work that He's doing in your life right now. I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's pray together. Let's bring our hearts before God. Let's commit ourselves to Him. He sees every heart. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you've given Jesus in my place. Father, today I confess that I am a sinner and in need of a Savior. I repent of my sin. I choose to turn away from that life. Choose to follow you, Lord, as King, as Savior, as Lord of Lords. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is my Savior, that God has raised Him from the dead, and I will follow Him for the rest of my life. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of eternal life. Thank you for peace in my heart. Thank you that you love me. You never leave me, Lord. Never forsake me. Let your kingdom come in and through my life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thanks so much. If you've prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to really encourage you to, at the end, to come forward and receive some ministry. I believe there's a power in us responding to what God is doing in our hearts. Amen. And then I just want us to, there's a few more things I want to pray for. If you are finding yourself in that in-between season, if you're finding yourself in a season where you need to, you maybe have struggled a little bit with discouragement or fear or those things that come in between, maybe you need to just pray with somebody to again lift your eyes to Him. Maybe you need to pray with somebody to help you, just to pray with you, to cast your cares upon Him again. I want to encourage you, please, to join us in the front. Maybe we even pray with somebody next to you. And maybe that there's a place where you need to submit to God again and resist the devil. It's a good thing to do that along with somebody else. Whatever place you're finding yourselves in, if you need prayer this morning, we'd love to pray with you. So please come to the front or turn to somebody next to you and ask to pray with you. Then I felt specifically, we've been so amazed, and so, not amazed, but we've been encouraged the last while, just how faithful God is to heal people. So if you need healing in your body this morning, I want to really encourage you. God has already made a way. So if you need a prayer for healing, please come to the front. We lay hands on you as the Bible directs us to do, and we trust God will do the healing. Amen. God bless you. If you have any other prayer needs, please join us in the front. Otherwise, have a wonderful day. Enjoy the long weekend.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.